I had to track this guy down because he's been out running around. But he's still wonderful, and you're all going to fall in love with him, I guarantee it. But you can't have him because he's married. And they're in love. So all you girls leave him alone, and you guys leave him alone. No, no, no. Behave yourselves. Yeah, you hear? Because he belongs to Michelle. This is our Steve Cook.
Thank you, Lily. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's been a while since I've been in church, but this is not my confessional. Oh. I'll save that for private audience. No. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to see all of you. Larry, is it?
Yes.
Thank you very much for the healing. That was wonderful. I thought we started at 7 o'clock, but it was 7:30, so I was able to sneak in a healing, and that was very welcome. Yeah. So I have just a little talk that I'd like to share with you. It was quite mind-altering when it happened, and it's titled Funny How Things Are. A small and completely insignificant event altered my life. I would never have looked in such a place for an insight, let alone an epiphany like this. I often think about the right setting or staging for my interactions with the angels, as if I can control the interaction in the first place. Those settings, for me, often include things like incense, the right smell, the right lighting, meditation, natural settings like trees and forests. Nighttime is better than daytime in my world, a beautiful work of art, a piece of music, or some ritual that I can think up and think I can muster this. Well, today I'm here to tell you that when you least expect God and the angels to be talking to you, they are. And maybe even more important, when you think you're not listening, you are. So here's my story. The other day, I was walking up to my car, and I was thinking, what a terrible job the other driver did, pulling his car into the parking stall near me. The car was not between the lines, and it was definitely not parallel to the stripes that were parked in the parking lot. Now, I don't know about you, but that really annoys me sometimes. And on this particular day, it really got under my skin. And so as I was there, I was getting more angry and more angry at that driver for having parked wrongly. And the more I thought about it, the angrier I got. That person was just really inconsiderate, downright mean, wrong. I mean, they were out for me. I was out for blood because they were out for me. And I this person single-handedly caused me strife, as well as others in the parking lot, because now, you know, it's not only affecting me and my parking job, but now I have to take up two spots, and that means someone else can't park. And you see how this snowballs and gets worse and worse and worse? Well, we're just getting started. So all the other, so, you know, there's rules, and there's the way it's supposed to be. And all of us know how to be courteous and respectful and follow the rules. And as I was getting more upset, I was getting more righteous and more indignant about what this person had done. And, you know, just, I mean, it's got to be in the California driver's manual, or at least common courtesy. You know, maybe your parents taught you, you know, and I'm fuming at this point. I'm thinking, you know, it's up to me to teach this person a lesson. Okay, so I've got to do something about this. They have to learn from me how to be, follow the rules, how to be polite, how to be proper, you know, courteous even, you know. And so, you know, what's the best way when you're standing there in a parking lot and, you know, there's nobody around? Well, retaliation, of course. I mean, that's what you do. So, you know, what could you do? Well, you could park really close to the car and leave so they can't get in. You can scratch their car with your key. You can You know, you could leave a nasty note on the window. You could notify the parking attendant, and maybe they'd get towed or get a ticket, or, you know, God forbid they should be on the city streets and the police could show up and do something about it. You know, this terrible thing that happened. And, you know, so this for me was all very appropriate and meaningful responses to this terrible thing that this person had done to me and all of you if you had been in the parking lot. And, you know, just wanton carelessness is, you know, just terrible. So, funny how the world is, huh? This little incident took up the better part of my morning. Not just standing there in the parking lot, but when I left, I was still fuming. And I you know, I couldn't believe that this had happened, that this had happened to my world, to your world, to the world at large. You know, we've got a big problem here. And the righteousness is getting deeper and more indignant. And this problem is just snowballing. And I do have to say that the one good thing that came out of it is I was able to control my actions and not actually do anything to the person's car. And yeah. And thank you. It was really hard. But I'm sure you've all had a similar situation somewhere. And as I tried to gather myself later in the day, it started to bother me that I was so bothered by this. What is it about this little insignificant incident that just drove me nuts? For the life of me, I couldn't get a handle on it. So I started thinking about Millie and the Fraternal Spiritualist Church and the things that, you know, the right thinking, right? And the only thing I could think of was watch your words, watch your thoughts, and watch your actions. Well, the only thing I'd done successfully is I'd watched my actions to this point. My words, I can't share with you, and my thoughts, I'm trying to share with you. So, you know, as I said, the car was undamaged, and satisfied or not, you know, I left the scene, and the thing that really started to get to me was that I was unsatisfied for the rest of the day. I wasn't pleased, I wasn't uplifted, I wasn't joyful, I wasn't happy, I wasn't content. All this was missing, just absolutely missing, this person. You know, and then after I thought about, you know, watch your words, watch your thoughts, watch your actions, I went, oh, there's all the sayings and the parts of the Bible that I've never read, and, you know, do unto others, turn the other cheek, and all this stuff, and you know, I'm thinking about this, and I thought, well, maybe I can be a martyr in this situation. You know, I'm still not ready to let this go. Maybe I can be a martyr. So, all right, I'm going to turn my other cheek, and you know, I'll let him park next to me again in some other parking lot, and I won't do anything about it. But he'll know. And you know, so I continued on this way and continued on, and it still didn't dawn on me what the source of the problem was. And, you know, I'm still righteous. I'm still indignant. It's terrible. And you know, it's got my heart rate up. It's got my blood pressure up. I've got a headache. You know, my adrenaline is pumping because I'm thinking of all these nasty things I can do to the person. My hands are shaking and sweaty. And emotionally, well, I already told you, you know, frustrated, empty, confused, angry, all this stuff. And in that moment, when I was thinking about all these physical and emotional things that were going on, it dawned on me. I finally figured it out. And this is the part where I can't really say it was up to me to do this. This was the strange happening when you're not listening and you're not talking and you're not, in my case, doing a little ritual or have the lights just right or the incense burning. God's talking to me. And what happens is I realized that nothing had been taken from me. Nothing had happened. Nothing, literally nothing. It's that I'd given something away. I gave away, freely gave away, my contentment, my love, to embrace anger and just be pissed off. And when I figured that out, it's one of those little duh moments, but for me, that was a pretty big epiphany, at least on this day. And so I couldn't tell you who the other driver was or why they parked that way. You know, and to this day, I still don't even know the person. I haven't scouted out the parking lot. I'm not stalking the person. I want to let you know that I've let it go. It is behind me. And I finally recognized it for what it was. And when I apologized for myself, that's when the mute button was let off my love volume, and it returned. All of a sudden, my contentment was back. And the beauty of it was, is even as mental and as physical and soul-searching I think I was about trying to figure this out, it really was the angels just completely turning the thing around. It wasn't something to mentally figure out. And for me, who mentally sits and figures out everything, as I just explained to you, that was a big thing. Yeah. So I still get upset. I haven't given that up yet completely. But I am quicker to forgive and to forget. And I know now to look more closely at what I'm doing. I don't know what set me off that morning other than the driver. But it can be as something as simple as I just need to take a nap, or I need to eat a meal and not let it go and let my blood pressure or my blood sugars drop, and to be just a little bit more responsible for myself and my actions. And that, on that day, is what I learned about the angels and God. Thank you.
Everybody, that was big. That was big. Did you all take it in? Did you take it in and see yourself? He gave away all that time that he could have been enjoying so many things, including Michelle, his beloved wife. So many things he could have been enjoying, and he threw it away all because the guy parked crooked. What happens to me ordinarily when I get upset at a driver on the highway? It doesn't take long till I do the same thing. I noticed that too, by the way. I don't let it go to the extent that he did, but of course I'm not. And if I did, I probably wouldn't acknowledge it. Dave, you're wonderful. I would like to tell this quick story, though, of a number of years ago, and you people, I believe any number of you have already gotten this on your computer, but a number of years ago, I was talking to an international columnist, and I was telling him about my friend that she bought cookies and went and sat on the train. And it was a magazine, and many had heard this story. Okay, and so she sat on the train and had her little pack of cookies beside her, and this guy sits down beside her, and she's reading her magazine, and she's going to have a cookie. So she opens the bag, and the guy puts his hand in. Every time she put her hand in her bag of cookies, he put his hand in the bag of cookies. I told this to this international columnist. Well, he thought it was so funny. He just thought it was the funniest thing ever, because what she did then, she now got to the last cookie. One cookie left in there. He picked the cookie up, broke it in half, gave her a half, and he took half. Now, she's really upset. You know, she's just really upset. Should she say something? What should she do? You know this story, Steve?
No.
What should she do? She's so upset. The idea, the audacity of this guy eating her cookies. And she didn't say anything, but she got off in a huff, and she went on up to her door, and she reached in her bag to get her keys, and there was her bag of cookies. I told that to him, and he put it in his column. This was years ago. You know I'm getting that thing in all versions on my computer. How many have gotten it on their computer? Is that amazing? That story's coming back to me now from and any number of people get it. They send it to me because they think it's funny. They don't know that I was actually telling a story to him. To me, I just think it's interesting how stuff travels. Yeah. So, honey, you never know where your story's going to end up. make sure you always park completely straight within the lines, okay? Well, that was wonderful. Is it interesting, though, how what the angels must listen to when they're listening to our thoughts? He probably didn't even say anything to Michelle. He just stewed inside himself. He probably was cooking up a storm in here, and he certainly wouldn't want to upset her, so he probably didn't even tell you, did he, Michelle? No, not until later, right? Oh, that was grand. That's kind of a funny little story. But does that teach us a lot?
Yeah.
He gave away all those hours to somebody he doesn't even know. Sometimes we'll give them chunks of our life, chunks of our day, like that you can't come back and get. Give it away much quicker than we'd give away our money.